A child's imagination propels big dreams. PNC Grow Up Great is here to help young children learn with resources in English and Spanish, because early childhood education is the way to reach for the stars. PNC Foundation is proud supporter of Alma's Way. This is Teachable Moments with April podcast, and you guessed it, I'm your host, April. If you're a returning listener and a part of the Teachable Moments with April podcast family, welcome back. For those who are checking me out for the first time, well, hello and welcome. To everyone listening, be encouraged and look for the teachable moments that are all around us. Enjoy. Let us pray, a prayer for discernment. Dear Heavenly Father, I seek your counsel. I invoke your spirit and help me to discern as nothing escapes your sight. Guide me, Lord, and give me a healthy spirit, a clear eye, and wisdom, and help me identify any presence of the enemy, trying to tempt or trap me into the sin of pride or vanity. Set me free of my flesh so that I may see with the eyes of Christ. Let me identify the spirit behind any choices I must make. May your Holy Spirit fill me and take control so that I only need to walk in obedience. For you alone are holy and you are my sovereign Lord. And all my decision must glorify you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the fourth key dimension to spiritual warfare from the book Territorial Spirits by C. Peter Wagner. So the fourth key is our plan of action. There is no doubt about it, engaging the enemy on any level is risky business, nor is there any doubt that we are called to do it. So now the question becomes, how do we go about it? And when we come back, we're going to explore that next. Think of PayPal as an invisible force helping your business improve customer acquisition, conversion, and retention. Reach new customers by tapping into their giant global network and giving them the option to pay with PayPal payment methods throughout the shopping journey. Next, your new optimized checkout flow attracts new, diverse, and high-value customers and make it easy for them to come back for quick repeat purchases. That's right, no more re-entering information. If we are going to do spiritual warfare, let us do it well. Let us agree on a wise and effective plan of action. One of the most helpful scripture passages for formulating a battle plan is found in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this passage mentions two relationships with seven verbs. Five of them are active and two are passive. The first relationship is upward and the second is outward. Now, the upward relationship, God. Four active verbs are used to describe our relationship with God. Submit, draw, near, cleanse, and purify. That was at James 4, 7, 8. Let me say it again. Submit, draw, near, cleanse, and purify. Okay. First, we are to submit to God. This means first and foremost to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and acknowledge that He is Lord. As we do, we enter the family of God. God is our Father. It is a comfortable situation for us to be at home, as you would say, and sit on your Father's lap, right? Secondly, we are to draw near to God. This means we must spend time with the Father. We must get to know Him well, and as in any other interpersonal relationship, time together is of the essence. One of the obvious reasons we need to be near to God is to know from Him what has already been bound in heaven so we can effectively bind it on earth. Then, we are to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Cleansing our hands refers to what we do. Purifying our hearts refers to our motives, what we think and what we feel. Taken together, they point us toward holiness. Now, holiness, as I understand it, is being so full of God that there is no room for anything else. And we talked, I'm just going to break in right here. This is what we were talking about before and other in the other episodes about some aspect in our spirit or in our soul that is it's a part of us, but that aspect of us that God created us to receive His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And when we don't do that, we're left open and vulnerable, and we run the risk of the other one, the adversary, and the influences of this society, this very dark society and this very dark world, to enter us, different things to gain access and fill us with the other things. And that is where the danger, it's literally life and death, okay, of these different spirits and influences to fill us. And that's what we need to really be conscious of. We need to be so full of God and His Holy Spirit that there is no room for the adversary and for those who follow Him, the demons that follow Him, the fallen angels. Without holiness, we can expect very little power in spiritual warfare. The opposite of holiness is worldliness. This is what exactly. And a previous verse in James 4 reminds us that friendship with the world is an enmity with God. And this is found in James 4:4. While we know more produce personal holiness through human works, then we gain salvation through them. If we decide to open our lives totally to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, He is the one who does the work of cleansing and purifying. Okay? If we take the action, then, of submitting, drawing near, cleansing and purifying, the passive verb comes into play. God will draw near to you. This is God's action, not ours. When He draws near to us, our chief desire is to obey Him. We want to please the one who loves us so much. I mean, that makes sense, right? Let's think of it in the context for a moment of humans, other humans that we love and we care for, our family members, maybe our spouse, our children, our siblings, close friends that we have love for. When you love someone, you want to please them. That makes sense. You want to make them happy. You want to, we always see people seeking other people's approval in general. So, makes sense. So this is a good point of reference and a parallel or point of reference we can work from to understand what exactly that we need to be doing, okay? We want to please the one who loves us so much. Now, God and His Son, they don't equal another imperfect human being in that. I mean, there's so much that we were created by God. Jesus, His Son, gave His life for us in such a horrific way, but it was part of prophecy. So it's a different love, hands down. But you know what I'm saying. So in describing the weapons of our warfare in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says they are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And this account is found in 2 Corinthians 10:5. So now we're going to look at the other relationship, the outward relationship, Satan. While our first movement in spiritual warfare is upward toward God, our second is outward towards the enemy. Here we have only one active verb, resist. If we take steps to resist the devil, the passive verb comes into play and he will flee from you. This is the scary part. Nothing scares a little bird more than being pushed out of the nest. Nothing scares us more than the thought of meeting the enemy in a spiritual wrestling match. Satan, like in the scripture, is a roaring lion. Who wants to go in that direction? It's a roaring lion over there. You want to go over there? Not really, no. Okay. It would be much more comfortable to run back home to mommy, but the verb is not run away or stay out of the jungle or ignore him. It's to resist him. We may not like the idea, but we must move in the outward direction. Now I want to break in here for a second. This is going to sound really something to the people that are listening to this, but you remember when I did an episode about, it was a movie review for that movie that that just came out with Monique. It was called The Reading, and there was a, to me, I looked at some of the reviews from people, and I understood exactly why they felt a certain way about it, because they were tripping about how she was acting, how she switched, you know, her character more toward the end of the movie once the facade was dropped, so to speak, and the way she was moving and running through the house, and people were laughing and you know, people, you know, giving their own commentary on it. But actually, I said it in that particular episode of how there was a lot of very, I felt, deep symbolism and meaning in that movie that didn't exactly escape me. So I'm going to tell you, when I read this part, okay, so I saw the movie first. And then I started, like I said, started doing these episodes about this particular book that I've had for a while. And I wanted to get more deep into it. I'd like went here and there in the book over the years, but I never really read it from cover to cover, which is what I'm doing now. When I read this particular part about what we're reading now, about our plan of action, and was talking about the upward relationship with God in the outward relationship with Satan, it put in my mind a part of the movie as it got closer to the end in the reading, when there was a bit of dialogue between herself and the main character, Sky, okay, which was the young lady that could see and talk to, allegedly, dearly departed people. And they were on the stairs. And I said in the episode that I felt that there was some symbolism there that I missed. That the stairs and the fact that in that particular home, in Monique's family home, that was the only place where there was any kind of reception from, if you wanted to make a call or go online, Wi-Fi or whatever. And I feel like something kind of came to me without me really realizing that I think that the symbolism, and that was symbolism, and I think that it represented this, the upward relationship. When you go up the stairs, a ascent is God. I think the stairs represented to me God, because the themes in that particular movie were of, it was spiritual warfare. I said that in my review. I feel like this was a prime example of spiritual warfare that was going on, and that there was a spirit of greed and money, which is why she basically She killed her family. She killed her husband. She killed her daughters, her daughter and her son, her younger son. That something had overcame her at some point, and that is why she killed them. And she wanted to be rich. So something gained access to her. A spirit took over her, and you could tell that it was at some point she presented herself a certain way. It was just her, not just her being, you know, just putting on a front, as they say, but she physically changed before your eyes. Not just how she, with the stuttering, there was different things that make it seem like she had endured a lot of trauma due to the attack that she perpetrated. But I told you what I thought about that, that I thought that even that itself was symbolic. When you saw these individuals gain access to the house, and they were dressed in all black and ski masks, and they were moving, that I felt like they were symbolic of these spirits that had somehow gained access. That house was a representative of her and what homes and represent. It's family. It represents love, unity, togetherness. And the adversary and the demons, they don't support that. So I think I saw the humor in it, but I also saw that there were some deep, deep themes there that maybe the people that I did look at their reviews, it might have went past them on that. Then maybe they didn't see that. And that's fine, I guess. But I started to think that this is on the staircase, on this particular staircase in this particular movie, that this would be a prime example of that, or symbolism of the upward relationship with God. Anything going upward, you think is good. And then the downward is the devil. And I believe when you go, because she was coming from the upstairs, and then Monique was just sitting at the bottom of the stairs. I think that those stairs were representative of the spiritual battle that was going on, representative of that. And then the only in communication with God, that's the only way your cell phone, allegedly on the surface, that's what she said. Do you know, this Monique was saying, that on these stairs, this is the only place where you can actually get any kind of reception. And if you wanted to call for help, this is where it would be. I think this is representative of what we're just talking about, is communication with God upward, or communication with the other one. Okay. And then she had in that it was a very beautiful home, that on the stairs also there was a wall decal of a tree. Could be representative of the tree of life, and the Garden of Eden. You know what I'm saying? So I saw a lot of symbolism in that movie. Okay, so I just wanted to put that out there. So it says, where are we at? Okay. Jesus himself had to go through a similar process. From all of eternity, he had been equal to the Father. But as Philippians 2 teaches us, he became unequal to the Father by taking on a human form in that way, in the incarnation. Okay. Jesus had to come to earth, live a human life in a human body, experience temptation, just as we do, hunger, thirst, the whole nine, and resist the devil one-on-one, not as God, well, God's son, but as a human being in a human form, although he was obviously who he was. I would imagine that doing that may have carried some fear, some scariness on some level for him, as spiritual warfare is for us. He knows by personal experience what he is sending us to do, what we're up against. The 12 apostles had been with Jesus for a year and a half. They had grown to love him and to love each other. But the day finally came when they were to minister, okay, on their own. And Jesus told them that the harvest was ready and that they were to go out by themselves to reap it by preaching the kingdom of God and manifesting the signs of the kingdom. Now, after a year and a half of moving upward, so to speak, keep that in mind, they now were to move outward. This was scary, especially when Jesus said this at Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, I'm going to stop there again. Now, going back to that movie. In the movie that I'm talking about, the reading, there was, I want to believe, sky. See, this is what I'm telling you. There was a lot of symbolism in that movie, the reading, with just Monique running around, you know, sing song. And toward the end, it was like she totally... But there was a lot of spiritual symbolism in there. Actually, Sky, the character, she was, I believe, coming home. And they lived in an apartment building. And I said in there, if you haven't seen the movie, she lived there with her mother. And there was something kind of going on with her own mother. But anyway, there was a homeless man in the stairwell. Okay? And he said, "I know why wolves do not get caught." And it was like, "They dress as sheep." Let me read the scripture again. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, why, if the movie had nothing to do with anything spiritual, why would this young man, I believed he was blind as well. There was like a white milky film over his eyes. Why would he say that? And we're reading about this here in this book that's about what? Spiritual warfare. He said that. He kept saying it over and over and over again. And it gives me chills now saying it. So trying to see past certain things, and the thing that we're saying that in this movie, and I should know better than anybody because I told you guys about the swarm, seeing that series and what happened to me after doing that, that a lot of times the adversary, the enemy, is putting things, we notice already, in movies, shows, songs, concert, I mean, every pod, commercials, everything, that there is a heavy biblical and spiritual aspect to it. Okay, what are the odds? What are the odds that this is here? He kept saying the same thing, and I saw it first, and then when I started reading, I said, "Hey, wait a minute. What is this? I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Okay, but they obeyed, and much of their relief, they did have the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick at Mark 6:13. Wow. Later, Jesus sent 70 of his followers out, okay, giving them authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And that's found in Luke 10:19. Now, their ministry was so powerful that Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning at Luke 10:18, as they were preaching and doing good works. The apostles, as well as the 70, had submitted to God, and God had drawn near to them. Then they resisted the devil, and he indeed fled from them, as the scripture says he will. Now, another aspect of this we'll talk in the next segment. And actually, the conclusion of this particular episode is finding the balance. All right, welcome back. So we are talking about, if you're just joining us now, we're talking about the fourth dimension, key dimension to spiritual warfare, our plan of action. We've already talked about the upward relationship, which represents God. We've talked about the outer relationship that represents Satan. And closing to this particular episode, we're going to talk about and close this out with finding the balance. Now, as today we began to learn how to move out in spiritual warfare on all levels, as did the early Christians, it is essential that we maintain the delicate balance, okay, between the upward and the outward. I like to conceptualize it in a, Well, they show actually a diagram that represents that it has upward 0 to 10. And it says holding God's hand, and then outward, moving out with God's authority. And then in the middle, it says spiritual gift zone, Christian role zone. And then at the top of this particular graph or diagram, it says positions in spiritual warfare, the upward and the outward. Then it goes on to say about this particular diagram or model, we must never move outward faster than we move upward. The upward is an indispensable prerequisite for the outward, since nothing we do is derived from our own strength, okay? But rather from the strength provided by God through us. Now, what happens if we are out of balance? The danger of going upward without going outward. Hold on, let me see if everybody said that right. The danger of going upward without going outward is ineffectiveness in ministry. Okay, and this is serious enough. But the danger of going outward without going upward is much more serious. It is truly like being a sheep among wolves, but this time a sheep without the protection of the great shepherd. The enemy can and will eat us for breakfast. Okay, how far out should we go? That's a very valid question, right? Those who have read, oh, he says, he makes reference to another book that he wrote that I didn't know of. Okay, your spiritual gifts can help your church grow. He makes reference to that book and recalling some helpful distinctions between spiritual gifts and Christian roles. It is a Christian role for every believer to engage in ministries such as evangelism, giving, hospitality, healing, teaching, and any number of others as needs and opportunities arise. But this is not to deny that God has also given to a certain number of members of the body of Christ special spiritual gifts, known, for example, as the gift of evangelist, or the gift of healing, or the gift of teaching, in which case the ministry of those individuals will be done on a much broader, more systematic, and more effective scale than that of the average Christian. This applies to spiritual warfare. Now, I know of no gift of spiritual warfare in the New Testament, but I do believe that some Christians have been given a gift mix through which God expects them to move outward more than others. Now, this is what I was talking about when I first started doing this episode and talking about this type of subject, is that I don't claim to know. I don't know everything, and I don't think any human being, any other imperfect human being, knows everything. And that some of the content that I'm sharing is not necessarily something that I feel is a part of what I consider my calling. Meaning, when people talk about they talk about deliverance, every type of from what I understand, belief system within the body of Christ. They talk about deliverance. Some people in the Catholic Church, they talk about exorcism. They talk about whatever other thing when you're actually expelling evil spirits. I don't feel like that's my calling. And some people, I have come across information I've done, and I've touched a little bit in the past about other people who believe that that's not something that anyone should do. Even though others may argue that, you know, they follow the 12 apostles and they had that ability to expel evil spirits, demons, whatever you want to call it. And they believe in deliverance. They believe in exorcisms. They believe in those things that is our role, that we can do that. Okay. With if you study and if you train, that you can do that. I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it isn't. I just don't feel in my spirit, in me, that's what I've been called to do. That's not my gift, and I can't really attest that. Only God, Jehovah God, can say if that's yes or no, and His Son, Jesus Christ. I just don't feel like that's my calling. Okay. Okay. And that's not my gift, as they're saying. Okay. See where I was at. Okay. And New Testament. I have arbitrarily numbered the verb. Okay. So he's talking about the diagram again and its ramifications and what it may mean. It simply indicates that there is probably some limit to the level of spiritual warfare which the ordinary Christian without a special gift, mix, or ministry, that's what's up with the numbers, I guess, because this goes from 0 to 10 in both directions, upward and outward. And then it has, as I said, Christian role and then spiritual gift zone. Let's see. Past that, especially when it involves dealing with territorial spirits, only those so gifted and called would be advised to attempt it. This is what I'm talking about. So, yeah, there's so much I don't know. So I just don't feel like it's my calling. Few would be expected to be doing a level 8 spiritual warfare, and fewer still level 9. The only human being who would legitimately be a 10-10 on the scale of spiritual warfare is and engaging with them would be Jesus Christ. And his face-to-face encounter with literally with Satan in the wilderness might well be regarded as a unique experience which will not be duplicated. Okay. Then he goes on to say, since it is advisable to be further up than in and up than out at any given time, I would like to go one step further and superimpose over the diagram. Oh, this diagram he has here. Now it's on the following page. It shows what looks like it's almost identical, the diagram, but he's added something to it. And it says danger zone, in which we should avoid ministering at all costs. In other words, never allow yourself to be found ministering in a position within the danger zone. Keep in mind that these, okay, shows lines of arbitrary and illustrative are only. Keep in mind that these lines, okay, perhaps as time goes by and we experiment more with spiritual warfare, we will be able to draw some more objective conclusions. Meanwhile, as we strive to hear from God, that's where I feel like I'm at right now. I just hearing from God and doing what I need to do. And to know the level and intensity on which we might be calling each of us, he may be calling us to engage in spiritual warfare. We can be sure that as we move upward, God will draw near to us, okay? And as we appropriately move outward, Satan will flee from us. Okay, the scriptures promise us that. Now, as the power of the enemy is pushed back and the glory of God shines through, we will see the harvest increasingly reaped and multitudes of unbelievers turning from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And we're going to end on that note. And the reference there of what I just read, from darkness to light and turn away from the power of Satan, here's a Bible scripture to look up. It's Acts 26:18. I would like to invite you to join me in prayer, a prayer of spiritual protection. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over my family. I come against any plot or ploy or scheme that the enemy has planned for us, and I render it useless in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. We are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that arises against us will be condemned. We have the minds of Christ and the victory. The victory is ours today in Him. We are children of the Most High, and we rest in His goodness and faithfulness. In your Son's sweet name, Jesus Christ, amen. Just listening to Teachable Moments with April podcast. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. We invite you to stay connected with us on the other social media platforms of ours, which is TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. Also, we'd like to invite you to check out our official podcast landing page on podpage.com/teachablemomentswithapril to see all our content in one place and leave personal messages, feedback, and more.